You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
How are you today, Ryan?
Pam, I'm doing well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. So do you have all your ducks in a row?
Never.
You know, when someone gets diagnosed with cancer, sometimes that forces people to get everything in order. And that includes their will, the medical power of attorney, you know, but I don't think it's just cancer patients that need to get the information together.
You know, we have talked on countless occasions about homework we need to do and things that we need to get done and, you know, talking about five wishes and making those known and doing all the things and getting things squared away. And it's never been more evident in my life than earlier this year when my father-in-law passed away that it needs to be done. And so, yeah, I'm trying to get our ducks in a row. We're working on it. It takes some time.
Yes. You know, you got to know what you need, and that's where our guest is going to come in and help us, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's, you know, this is one of those things where many times you it's kind of like us. You don't know that you need to come to us until you need to come to us. And you may not know what you need until you're told what you need. And so that's what we're hoping today's episode will provide is some great information for you guys on, as Pam said, getting your ducks in a row. And I tell you, we have a great guest today, a personal friend of mine, and we've had his wife on the podcast a countless times. So we're super excited to welcome Chris Wright onto the podcast today. Chris has almost 30 years, in May of this year will be 30 years of working in the legal field, both in estate planning and probate and elder law and helping folks like us, Pam, get our ducks in a row. Chris, thank you for joining us, sir. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm great.
Good.
I've got a lot to live up to having my wife on here so many times.
We love your wife.
We do.
She loves you guys
too. We do. So those of you that may be wondering, who in the world is Chris's wife? It is Tiffany Wright. Tiffany has been on a couple of times, three or four times with us, but Tiffany co-leads our support group, and which meets the second and the fourth Wednesdays of the month in the evening. And it's a general support group. So it doesn't matter what kind of cancer, doesn't matter what stage and where you are in your cancer journey. But then also Tiffany plays an important role with our counseling services and also our chemo brain class. So if you are in need of counseling services, you can give us a call here at the center. Or if you have questions about our chemo brain class, that's another great opportunity to get plugged in. And I'll give you real quick that phone number. It's 806-331-2400. But now back to today's episode. Enough about Tiffany. Chris.
Oh, let's talk about her. I like talking about her.
Let's talk about where do we even begin? Let's just say, for instance, we don't know anything about end-of-life planning, estate planning. Where do we even start?
Well, I guess we could go a couple of different routes. One, come talk to somebody like me.
Yes.
Preferably somebody who does this primarily as their practice. A lot of lawyers will do this sort of as a, the way I put it is kind of a sidecar practice. Mm-hmm. But I really encourage people to find somebody who actually does this estate planning and probate as their primary area of practice. Because just, you know, in 30 years, you see things and you know questions to ask and you can pick up on things that others might not because they can't, just because
this is your focus.
They haven't spent the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in terms of documents, what does a plan look like? Where do you start? In Texas, now let me say this. Each state, it's going to look different.
Sure.
Because probate laws, property laws, all of those are a matter of state law. So the way we do things in Texas is different than the way they do them in Oklahoma, is different than the way they do them in New Mexico.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
So forth and so on. So what I'm talking about is Texas specific.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Now, we can do things to plan for property in Oklahoma and New Mexico, but we don't need to get, anyway, I'm making this way too complicated. You asked for what do we basically need? Simple, Chris, simple. I'm showing my lawyer colors now. In Texas, a basic estate plan is a will, a medical power of attorney, a directive to physicians, which most people know of as a living will. I do or I don't want to be put on life support in two specific situations. The state of Texas deals with two specific situations. And a financial power of attorney, which a lot of people call a durable power of attorney. Financial, durable, those mean the same thing in terms of those powers of attorney. That's a basic estate plan. There are offshoots of that depending on specific situations, but that'll get most people who are Texas residents who own Texas property what they need so that when the inevitable comes, their families, their beneficiaries can pretty simply handle their stuff and move it forward.
You know, you hear horror stories, and sure. I know you've been and seen and done that. And so, you know, this is simply trying to prevent those horror stories from coming true, right?
It can, yeah. I mean, here's the thing is the point of the will is for you to direct where your property goes. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. Understanding that that means the state of Texas will decide where your property goes. They are ominously called the laws of intestacy. Basically, it's a statute that says if a person dies without a will, then here's the procedure. It's more complicated to get your property where they tell you it's supposed to go, because you've got to establish not only where your property is going to go, but you've got to establish who your heirs are. And it's not as simple as, well, there's a marriage license. She was my wife. Everything goes to her. Bam, it's over with.
Of course, it couldn't be that simple.
If only it were that simple. But if it were that simple, you know, I might not have a job. But in any event, so it's not even necessarily the horror stories, because the horror stories are, I mean, the really, really difficult, complicated, emotional problems. They're the exceptions, but just the less you do, the more complicated it becomes and the more we have to do on the back end.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
the way. That makes perfect sense.
And in my world, if I'm doing more work, that means more money, that means more time, you know, the whole nine yards.
So is it correct to say that there's like two categories of documents that you need in order?
Correct.
Those that are health and medical, and then those that are legal and financial.
Yeah, the way I put it to people is this. The powers of attorney are incapacity planning. I'm alive, but I can't make decisions for myself.
Yeah.
So that's the powers of attorney. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do those, similarly to what I was explaining about with the will, if you don't have powers of attorney, you haven't named an agent. I want Pam to make my decisions for me. If you don't do that, then there is a procedure that the state of Texas sets up statutorily where a court gets involved and somebody gets appointed to make those decisions for you. So there's incapacity planning, and then there's post-mortem planning, death planning. Yeah. So powers of attorney, this is what's going to happen while I'm alive. When I die, powers of attorney go away, and now the will kicks in, or the what we would call the testamentary document kicks in. And this is what's going to happen when I pass away.
Yeah. Now,
so those are the two categories.
So is there anything else we need to know about a will? You kind of touched on that. Like, where does my property go? That is when I pass away, that's for the explanation of who, what, where, and when all my stuff goes to.
I mean, I guess the two main things a will does is that. Where does my stuff go? Who gets my stuff? And number two, you appoint an executor. And in Texas, we appoint, almost always, we appoint what's called an independent executor. I can explain that in a little bit. But so where does my stuff go, and who is the person that's going to make all of this happen? Who's going to execute the will? That's your executor. But you have to name that person, and you have to name that person properly in the will. Now, there's, and now I'm going to get in the weeds a little bit, but I get this question a lot. People will come in and they will slap a will down. They will say, I'm the executor. What do I do? Let's go. Well, that's not technically true. You are named, or what we would say is you are nominated to be the executor, but a court has to appoint you. So you're not actually the executor until the court appoints you as a part of the probate process. And I know we'll probably get into probate here in a little bit. But so, but swinging back to your initial question, where does my, who's my family? Where does my stuff go? And who's the person who's going to do all of this for me? That can be a person. That can be people. So you can name joint executors. You can name three. You can name four to do it all together. Do it however you want to, but you have that. That's the primary purpose of a will.
Okay, that's that. I think that's pretty clear.
Yes. So advanced directive. I know a lot of people go to the hospital, and the first one of the questions that most nurses ask, or whoever's the intake, says, "Do you have an advanced directive?"
Right.
Why could you tell someone why that document is so important?
Two reasons. Number one, again, I'm going to hit this theme a lot. If you want to direct what you want to have happen, you've got that opportunity to do so. And if you don't, then the law steps in the state of Texas through the Health and Safety Code, in this instance, is going to decide how that end of life for you goes, right? Mm-hmm. So number one, it's making sure that it all goes down the way you want it to go down. Number two, let's say you had a medical power of attorney where you named an agent to make medical decisions, treatment decisions on your behalf in the event of your life, but you can't do that. But you don't have an advance directive. Guess who it falls on now to make that decision? The person that you name in the medical power of attorney. A lot of people either don't want to make that decision for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And let me be clear, in the advance directive, what we're talking about is life support decisions.
Right.
What a lot of people who come into my office, the way they term it is, who's going to pull the plug? Mm-hmm. So most people say, mom, dad, honey, I don't want to make that decision. Mm-hmm. I can't make that decision. Mm-hmm. So you're taking that off of them. Number two, you're telling everybody, this is the way it's going to go down. Nobody's going to fight over this. So if you think I shouldn't be put on life support and you think I should, daughter and son, that ain't how this is going to go down. And really where all of these sort of started, if you remember the Terry Schiavo case in Florida years and years and years ago, I mean, that poor woman was on life support. I don't remember how long while her husband and her parents fought over whether or not she was going to be kept alive using what we call in Texas all available life-sustaining treatment. Mm-hmm. Feeding tubes, hydration tubes, breathing devices.
Yeah.
And it can go into even like dialysis and those types of things. You know this better than I do, Pam. So, again, making sure that what you want is on paper and known. Number two, making sure that the person, you're not putting somebody in a position of having to end your life.
Right.
Yeah.
And number three, making sure that there's no squabbling over this. This is what I want, whether you agree with it or not, right, wrong, or indifferent, this is what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Is this a document that you have to go to a lawyer to prepare?
No. Mm-hmm. The medical power of attorney, let me back up. The directive to physicians, the advanced directive, is a statutory form. Mm-hmm. you can Google Texas Advanced Directive and you can find that on the internet. Download it, print it, sign it, get it notarized. You're good to go. Mm-hmm. The medical power of attorney and the statutory durable power, there's a statutory durable power of attorney. All those powers of attorney, you can find those. Those are statutory forms. So no, you don't have to. Now, let me put my plug in.
Absolutely.
The reason to go to an attorney for those is, number one, to get advice. What do I want to do? Because these aren't straightforward documents where you just print them, sign them, and you're done. You've got to make choices. Mm-hmm. And you want to know, if you want to know the legal effect of those choices, that's where a lawyer comes in, is advice. Number two, especially with the financial power of attorney, the durable power of attorney, those documents are malleable. We can add to. We can make them look different ways. So the ones that I do, we address things like elder law concerns. We address things like the possibility of trusts and gifts and those types of things. That's not included in the statutory form. Mm-hmm. So the straight answer to your question is no, you don't need to go to an attorney. But there are reasons to go to an attorney if you want to really make this fit your particular situation, and everybody's situation's different.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think it could get very complicated, very easy, and going to a lawyer makes sense.
Well, the law of unintended consequences comes into play. Mm-hmm. You may think you know what you're doing. You may think you understand the consequences of what you're doing, and you just didn't, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's... I just have the advantage of 30 years and a law degree. That's the only advantage I have on anybody. Sure. I mean, anybody can figure this stuff out. It's just, it takes a while.
Well, right. And I feel like, as you said early on, it's not so much about me in the moment. It's about what happens, making it simpler and easier and, you know, for your family.
You are not doing these things for yourself.
No, it's for your
Absolutely
family.
Absolutely not.
And I mean, I know we would all do anything for our family.
Right.
And I think it makes perfect sense as to why you say it does make a little more sense to find someone that can help you navigate this rather than, I think I've done this right.
I mean, if you're comfortable with that, I don't, you know,
we're
not begrudge anybody doing it that way. I just, you know, the value of going to a lawyer is not the documents. The value of going to the lawyer is knowing that the documents are right and fit your particular situation.
Yeah.
Because you get the advice based on what I'm hearing you tell me your particular situation is.
Yeah.
So you have these documents. How often should you re-look at these documents or redo these documents?
So what I tell people, and nobody ever does it, but what I tell people is once a year, pull them out of the box, wherever you've got them, look at them. This is who gets my stuff. This is who the executor is, and throw them back in the box. Mm-hmm. And don't think about them again. I tell people, like, when you're getting your tax stuff together.
Mm. That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
April
15th.
Nobody ever does it.
It's
but
like,
I say it.
It's
I
like, it's like what is it? It's like changing the smoke alarm batteries when the time changes. Nobody does it.
And I don't. But by the way, I don't do it either.
No.
I don't do
you
it
You change
either.
Them when they start beeping at 2
That's
in the
exactly
morning.
That's exactly right. Once every 5 years is really a good idea to come in and sit down. I review it. I refresh my memory of what's going on. You can tell me. Life changes in 5-year increments. I'm a big believer in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's true, but I just believe it. And so, you know, laws change, situations change, things change. 5 years is a good rule of thumb to sit down and really kind of like changing your oil, you know, once every 5 years, sit down and just talk with somebody like me of, you know, this is how my life has changed. What do we need to do? Now, with one caveat, if you have any kind of a, what I call life-changing event, somebody dies, you get divorced, you have a kid, you hit the lottery, you go bankrupt, you come into an inheritance, any of that kind of stuff changes your estate plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a time to come back in and just get some advice. Well, there's a lot of times I'll tell people, you got what you need. Don't worry about it. See you next, you know, in the next 5 years. Sometimes it does need changed. So
at least every 5 years.
At least every five, minimum every 5 years. Yeah. You really condense that down. See, I told you guys, don't put a microphone in front of a lawyer. You'll never get him shut up.
If the listen, it makes sense. And I just know some of our listeners are going, oh gosh, I got to get in the safe and pull out that document.
Where is that document?
That's the first question, right? Where is that document? And all those things. So my question to you, Chris, is coming on the heels of just going to the doctor today, and the very first thing they say is, do you have an advance directive? And you're like, no, I don't. So let's say I do. Or okay. I will. Okay. I soon will, as you and I will. We are. I'm telling you, I am getting my ducks in a row.
I'm proud of you.
I brought the two wheels today. Chris is taking them with him when he leaves. I'm not telling you how long it's been since they've been looked at. It's longer than 5 years. But let's say when I have my advance directives and I have, you know, that in place, I need to share that with my doctors, correct?
It's not a bad idea. You don't have to, but I tell people a lot of times, especially if you see specialists on a regular basis, take them and they'll make a copy, put it in your chart. They love to have them.
Yeah.
Anytime you go pre-admit for a surgical procedure, take them with you because they are going to ask the question Pam identified. And if you say no, they're going to shove a form in front of you and try to get you to sign that form, which in and of itself isn't a bad thing. It's the statutory forms I talked about.
Right.
But that may not be what you want, right?
Yeah.
Or if you do have them, but, oh, crap, I left them in the safe. Just tell them, I'll bring them back. Don't sign what they put in front of you because that might change what you've already got. Yeah.
And I would assume I go have a surgery today, I go have a surgery next month, next year, whatever that is, and you keep providing them with that document. If you've updated it, it goes off of the most recent signed notarized date, correct?
If
you continue to provide them with those.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that I say don't be careful about signing something they put in front of you, because a lot of these documents will say, all the documents we have language in them that says, I hereby revoke every document like this that I've done before.
Previous.
I hereby revoke all previous wills and codicils. I hereby revoke all durable powers of attorney previously done by me. That has the legal effect of making everything previous in time no good.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, yeah, anytime you update it, take it back up there and give it to them for sure. Yeah.
What about our patients or that have young kids? Is there something extra that they need to think about?
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. Guardianship, guardians for their minor children. In Texas, kid under the age of 18 does not have what we call capacity. You are suffering under the incapacity of minority is the $5 lawyer way of saying it. And so if something happens to both parents, then you have the ability to name a guardian, the person who's going to take care of your child, or people, can be a couple, who are going to take care of your child. Now, there are two types of guardians. Of course, it's got to be complicated.
There's nothing simple.
Again, I wouldn't have a job if there were. Guardian of the person, guardian of the estate. They are exactly what they sound like. Guardian of the person, it's who the kid lives with. Get them to school. Make sure they're fed, clothed. Day-to-day parenting. Mm-hmm. Guardian of the estate handles the kid's money. How's it going to be spent? Making sure the kid has what they need, making sure that the guardian of the person has what they need to take care of them. Most times that's the same person or the same couple.
Mm-hmm. But it's got to be spelled out.
Yeah, it has to be spelled out. And we do that in our wills for the most part. Yeah. So, but yes, I mean, that's a huge thing for people who have young children. to make sure that there is somebody set up to have the legal authority. Because again, you don't do that, now we go to court. The only entity, I guess, that has the authority to make that happen is going to be a court. It's going to be the county court here in Potter Randall County, depending on where you live. And it, telling your mom, I want you to take the kids,
isn't
doesn't really work.
And, oh, by the way, you need to make sure mom knows she's listed as guardian of the kids, don't you? I mean, I know that sounds obvious, but I would assume that is not always the case.
Talk to the people that you've named in your documents. And the last thing we need is something happen. We call somebody and say, you've been named as the executor in this will, and them go, nope.
Yeah.
I'm out. I don't want to do that. And it doesn't happen very often, but it's a good idea to go
talk to those people.
Ask permission rather than forgiveness in that instance, for sure.
I can't imagine getting that phone call, you know, like,
and not knowing.
Yeah. And no matter what the case is, whether
you
it's
have another kid.
Yeah. Whether it's you're taking care of someone's children or you are the executor of a will that you had no clue that you were doing.
The executor thing, the guardianship deal
is a big one,
is a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. Surprise. You've got another kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, or surprise, you're now raising more kids after you've been out of the kid business for 40 years.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, those don't need to be surprises to people.
Yeah,
for sure.
Goodness.
So I've also had patients come in and they say, I want a DNR.
Okay.
Is that something that they need to go through a lawyer, or do they need to talk to their healthcare provider?
Usually their physician. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can print the form, but that is a straight up form out of the Texas Health and Safety Code, I believe is where it's found. But I can't change it. It's really straightforward. And a lot of times your physician has to sign off on it. I can't remember off the top of my head which particular situations it requires that. But, yeah, that's something that, I mean, I can get somebody if they say, hey, I want a DNR, and I explain this to them and they say, yeah, but I want a DNR. Mm-hmm. I can get them the form. But that's something that you've usually got to discuss with a physician or a healthcare provider. Yeah.
But that's something different than the advanced directive.
Correct. Advanced directive is life sustaining treatment. Again, breathing machines, feeding tubes. What the way the document says is things that are going to essentially keep me alive, but not cure the underlying problem.
Right.
Right. I'm not going to get better
right
with the administration of this. The DNR is CPR, basically. They find you unresponsive. You don't have a pulse. Don't start banging on my chest.
Yeah. Right.
Let me go.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be prepared. You know, this is kind of a heavy subject that we're talking about.
Oh, but nobody wants to talk about it.
No, we want to run from it. But, absolutely. You know, being prepared and having your family in mind is the, you know, the greatest gift that you could give your family, I feel like.
And I think once most people start framing it in terms of I'm doing this for them,
yes,
mm-hmm. not yeah. for myself, it makes it easier.
Right.
And I think having those discussions and talking about it, I saw with my most recent current situation, made the whole situation so much better. So much easier mm-hmm. that everyone knows. Everyone's on the same page. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Mm-hmm. There is no question. And I mean, I agree. It's a weird topic to have that discussion around. But you do it once, and it's good. And you
for
need
5 years.
And well, yeah. But I mean, in terms of you know, then I think it's one of those things, right? Because I think you and I talked about this. Is you need to give copies of these to your family. You know, and share potentially so they know where things are if that happens. Good idea?
I don't like the idea of giving out copies. The reason I don't like the idea of giving out copies, and other lawyers do it other ways, so this is just me. Because if you change it...
You got to go
find all the copies, and you got to make sure they've got updated copies of the new ones. What I would rather see people do is talk ahead of time, first of all, make sure everybody knows the deal. I think that's really important. But secondarily, tell all the people who are named in the documents, something happens, this is where everything is, and this is how to get to it.
Yeah, okay.
And we always have copies up at our office. And so if we get a call from Pam and she says, you know, my dad is in this situation, I can't find this document. As long as Pam can prove to us who she is and that her dad is in this situation, I can release that information to her because she is the named agent in the document.
On top of these documents, it's probably good to have, you know, I know you're not supposed to write the passwords down, but all those things that, you know, you use that people need to get into, like your phone password and all that, with those documents as well.
Yes. And I don't have a good answer for how to do that. I know people put in the notes on their phone. People write it down on a legal pad. But yes, somewhere with these are the accounts. These are the account numbers. This is how to get in, log into each account. This is the lawyer's name and number. This is the accountant's name and number. This is the doctor's name and number. This is the life insurance guy's name and number.
Yeah.
All of that information with these documents is invaluable because if you don't have that, it's a wild goose chase.
Right.
And I've seen people go on those goose chases and they can last, and I'm really not exaggerating about this. It will sound like I am, but they can last years sometimes just trying to track down what all did dad have.
Right.
I heard a deal. This is very timely. I heard a thing on the radio this morning driving into work, and it was talking about finances, basically. And it was talking about how in households they have found that usually, not always, but more often than not, there's one member of the family who does the everyday bills and the everyday monetary stuff. And there's one person in the family who does like the investments and the IRA and the long-term stuff. And usually it's not the same person. And they said, and I thought, well, that's very interesting, because I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, that fits with my family. One does one and one does the other. And so in this case, definitely, like, I know Kimberly would not know how to get into certain things. Vice versa, I may not know how to get into certain things that she does. And so it's important to make sure you have that combined together if you fit that bill of I don't do this, but she does. So I need to know how to get into that and vice versa in your form of keeping track of passwords and login stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And there's 100 different apps and Lord knows what else out there that you can do this stuff with now. I'm not really up to date on what all of that is, but it is extremely important information. And again, you're not doing it for yourself.
Right.
You're doing it for the people. And what I always tell people when they hesitate about that, because I don't want to give everybody my information, my first thought and comment is, well, then maybe we need to talk about the people that you're naming as agents rather than the information itself, because that tells me you don't trust somebody.
Yeah.
And so we go down that road, you know, which is, again, that's why you talk
why
to a
you
lawyer.
Talk to because as you said,
you can identify those kinds of problems.
I got 30 years of experience. I've seen it. And you're probably good at reading the situation.
Try to be.
So, Chris, is there any other documents or any other suggestions that you have for our listeners to get our ducks in a row?
Check beneficiary designations on accounts, on financial accounts. Here's why. In my world, we have what's called probate property and we have what's called non-probate property. Probate property is everything that passes under the terms of your will. Non-probate property is everything that passes under designations outside of your will. So, for example, everybody knows about putting beneficiaries on life insurance policies, right?
Mm-hmm.
This goes to my wife, and if my wife's not around, then my kids split it. right?
Right.
That's an example of non-probate property, because those proceeds from that life insurance policy are going to pass under the terms of those beneficiary designations, regardless of what your will says. So if my will says I give everything to my wife, but my life insurance policy says I give everything to my kids get the life insurance policy, not my wife.
Right.
So checking those beneficiary designations on financial accounts can be crucial, because you may think, well, my will says this is how I want everything to go, but oh crap, my ex-wife is still the beneficiary on my life. And I've seen this happen, believe it or not. My ex-spouse is the beneficiary of my life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. You know, and so very important. And we talk about these things with people when they come in to do their planning. But beneficiary designations on accounts, I think are probably, from a financial perspective, are that can screw up an estate plan quicker than anything. Yeah.
So many times I fall into that trap, right, of kind of setting it and forgetting about it. And that's another, just to kind of call back to revisit those things.
Change all those batteries.
Change all the batteries every...
think of your estate planning attorney as a smoke alarm.
Smoke alarm. You know, I think it just... some of these things, right, we know. We just forget about it. And sure. I think it's important that you guys, you know, again, take that to heart, because you want to make things easier on your family.
Yeah.
100%. Oh, yeah.
If you 100%. Can frame it that way,
yeah,
it just makes it easier to think about it. I mean, nobody wants to think about this stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to think about it, but I mean.
And it doesn't take a cancer diagnosis to think about these things either. Everybody should be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean.
Yeah. It's important.
Different things motivate different people, I guess. So.
Right.
That's right.
So, Chris, for our listeners thinking, man, I really need to come and see you.
Yep.
Can you give out your information?
I can. The name of the firm is Wright, Wilmarth, Bird, and Holcomb. We just added Holcomb. We just got a new partner. And Tristan Holcomb, she's my partner. She has come in, and she is a young attorney who's learning the estate planning ropes. So she's at the beginning of her 30 years, not the end of her 30 years like I am. We are at 7971 Southwest 45th. We're like halfway between Coulter and Sauncey on 45th. And our phone number is 806-372-3100.
Yep.
Okay.
That's perfect.
That's how you find us.
Yeah. If you find yourself questioning, not sure what I needed to do, I've got what I don't have, where it is, it's a great place to start to give you a call and give Chris a call to touch base. You know, obviously, you've got your own lawyers, you've got your own setup or whatever you've got, use them.
Yeah,
use them
absolutely.
And do that. But if you don't and you're looking and you need, Chris, I can't recommend Chris enough. In fact, like I said, I've got he's taking my stuff out of here when he leaves. And then we'll get together whenever we have time. But no, I think it's important. So, Chris, thank you for sharing with our folks today. I think it's incredibly important that we all take this to heart.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it. Yeah.
This leads us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you could share with our listeners? An
inspiring moment. There's so many. I think that when I get inspired in my law practice, I get cards every now and again that say, you know, gosh, you helped me through this time. And it's not about the money. It's not about the finances. It's not about it's being the counselor and attorney and counselor at law. You helped me think this through. You really helped me see the truth behind this. That's the rewarding part of what I do. It's not, man, you saved us $100,000 in taxes. You made sure we didn't have to pay this or pay that or whatever. It's the, you know, you made sure that mom was taken care of and we appreciate that.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ryan, are you going to let the cat out of the bag?
I should, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
About Chris. Yeah. Well,
I have a secret.
Chris has a secret. No, we are very excited. You know, like I said, Chris's wife, Tiffany, has been, how long has she been a licensed professional counselor?
Ever since I've known her. So 30 years.
30 some odd
basically,
years.
Basically. Yeah. And we met when I just got out of law school.
So. Yeah. And I, you know, we brought Tiffany on several years ago, and it's been one of the best decisions we've made because we have just been inundated with a need, and
right.
quite frankly, a need of mental health assistance and mental health counseling. And there's no secret that that's something that struggles, you know, our survivors as they go through the treatment, diagnosis, and so forth, and even after treatment. And so much so that we're bringing on a fifth licensed professional counselor very soon. And we actually just spoke to him about law. And it's very unique. I asked Chris when he said he was going to do this. I'm like, why are you going to get your LPC? You've got a 30-year law degree. And this is, I'm putting words in your mouth, but you told me this is your post-law career, is being a licensed professional counselor.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The law's not ending anytime soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm in school right now. I'm not licensed. That's
yeah.
another year.
Yep.
But this is, I like the counselor part of being an attorney. Mm-hmm. I like the talking to people, and I like the moving through problems and helping people
yeah.
help themselves figure out problems.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's going to be a sort of a little sidecar thing for mm-hmm. me for a while.
Yeah.
But you know, hopefully in 10 years or so,
yeah,
I'll be able to kind of step into that role, but I am going to do a little bit of
yep.
it now. You guys yep. have graciously afforded me the opportunity to start, providing those services here. And I'm really excited.
We
I
are
can't
too.
Wait. I can't
we are
wait.
Too. You know, we have, speaking of counseling services, we have, Chris will now eventually be our fifth licensed professional counselor. They all do regular hours. We have one that will do virtual. So maybe you can only see someone at lunch, you know, they can see you while you're eating your sandwich in your car, whatever that looks like, you know. We have one that will do after hours. We have one that speaks Spanish. And then we have a male counselor. We'll have a male counselor in Chris. And that's a really cool, unique thing because, man, we know cancer doesn't choose the sex of the person that it affects. And we're seeing more and more men, especially with prostate cancer. And so we think it's important. And also just the variety, of course, in our counseling services that we're able to provide is just, it's tremendous.
Yes. You know, that's an important thing. You know, mental health, going through this journey is hard. And so we have those resources and, you know, just reach out. 806-331-2400 or stop by at 1732 Hagee Boulevard. Check us out. See what we can do for you.
That's right. That's right. You know, Pam, this is going to be another great year. This is our first episode of 2026. I'm really excited. Wow. You and I got together and planned. And we already have a lot in store for our listeners, don't we?
I think we have come up with some great topics, but you know, sometimes we need suggestions. So
that's right.
If you are looking for a podcast or a resource, reach out.
Yeah.
Let us know.
If you find yourself saying, gosh, I wish they would cover this. This is your opportunity to tell us and let us know. And we'll do our best to try to find someone that can speak educationally and eloquently to it, won't we?
Yes, we will.
So we have our homework. Pam, you got to get your will out. Got to get your ducks in a row.
I'm gonna go change my batteries.
Get your ducks in a row. You guys listening, listen, we jest about this and we joke about it, but in all seriousness, we know how important it is. And we think it's very vitally important. Otherwise, we wouldn't dedicate enough all this time to it. We want to make sure that you have this information. But more importantly, share this podcast. This is not just a cancer survivor issue. This is an everyone issue. We want to make sure that you can help educate your friends, your neighbors, your families by sharing this information with them. And who knows, maybe share it with them. And then this is an opportunity for you to sit down and go, now this is why we're talking about this.
Right.
You know, a good lead into that. So there's your homework. Thank you guys for listening. And make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon. Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.